Can't help but comment today on the many smiles we've noticed. It's supposed to be a dreary day, but it's hard to prove it just looking around at the happy faces. In fact, this is one of those classes that in some way is almost finished before it begins. There's a real feeling that we have all brought with us a very special consciousness. It permeates all around us. We want to look at the chapter which we began last week, Lifting Up the Eye. The first thing we want to look at is a very unusual statement made by Job. It's almost a statement which is so complete in itself, yet when it is understood, you have the complete and total secret of the nature of error. I think it could begin right here on page 189. Joel says, "Through conscious realization, we must establish the truth of our oneness with God, our oneness with spiritual perfection." We're going to assume now that we have established this to a degree, so that at least we know that this is the nature of our being. We may not be able to demonstrate it 100% of the time, or even perhaps 20% of the time. But we know we are spirit, one with the Father, one with each other as oneself. And so this has to be established before we can go further with his next statement. Then from there on, we're not dealing with persons or conditions. We're dealing only with the world of appearances or illusion. Now here's the important phrase. The illusion in one place may be a lake. The illusion in another may be a city. But it is all illusion. And the substance of an illusion is nothingness, whether it appears as a lake or a city. The substance of illusion is the same, whether it appears as a cold, a headache, a cancer, tuberculosis, a broken bone, poverty or unemployment. It is always nothingness, the arm of flesh appearance, and behind it is the activity of a universal malpractice or hypnotism produced by the universal belief in two powers. Now then, the big statement is that this illusion on the left and that illusion on the right and the third illusion up there and the fourth illusion down here are all one and the same illusion. So that if in the office everybody is saying there's going to be an earthquake at 9 p.m. or 9 a.m. on January 4th, that's one illusion, but it's no different than the illusion on the other side which says I have a head cold. They're both the same illusion. And if you come across someone beating a dog and your heart bleeds for the dog, you're trapped into an acceptance of the third illusion, which is still the same illusion. The cold in the head, the beaten dog, the earthquake are one illusion. And so Joel's statement is that when you learn the nature of one illusion, you've learned the nature of all illusion. And then the alertness to the universal illusion is a path to freedom. So let's look at these three human type illusions, which we see as three separate illusions when they're really one. The earthquake, the beaten dog, and the head cold. We know that God has not created earthquakes. We know that God is not standing by watching people beat dogs. And we know that God didn't give anybody a head cold. And if we have perfect faith in a perfect God, something happens in us. It's like putting starch in the collar of a shirt. something starches up your awareness so that you can stand without being moved out of position. You think with a sense of conviction. There is a lucidity in your thought as if it were coming from another level. And you find suddenly you can understand the nature of illusion as something which normally persuades you to accept it as a reality. The talk gets hot and heavy and the fear jumps. The next thing you know, all of your teaching is out the window. All you can think of is, where can I put this body if that earthquake comes? Or the head cold is there, and you're angry at yourself because you're supposed to have known better. But here it is. And then you can't help but wince when you see somebody lash that dog. You want to tear it out of his hands. You want to cradle a dog. You want to stroke it. In all cases, this is material sense presenting different pictures to the one who is not alert to reality. Now let's go back to our perfect reality. Let's see that the real problem begins long before the physical birth. Infinity is so vast, there's no way that it can present itself to the finite mind. And so infinity presents itself to the finite mind through many veils, through many segments, so vast that in one lifetime you can only get a little bite out of the big apple. And so you see infinity, but don't know you're looking at it. You see a little portion in one lifespan, and another portion, and another portion, and then another. And every time you look out, you think you're seeing what's there, because the human mind has no capacity to see infinity. And so right at the start, we're pressured into an illusion. We cannot see any further than our human eyes can see. And they cannot see the wholeness that is present. And so with our other senses, we're limited again and again and again. And we learn finally that these limitations are not limitations at all, unless they're accepted as senses which convey to us reality. When you know they have no capacity to convey reality, then you are lifting yourself above the sense of sight and sound, touch, knowing that always infinity is present. And finally you know that you're in what may be called the fourth level or the fourth world. And because you're in the fourth world looking at infinity, you find that you are to be lifted up to three more levels. Into this fourth world comes a light, always present, but there is one to receive it, and so Jesus becomes Christ. And now you have a higher level made manifest in the fourth level. And it comes to show us that there is a way to a higher level, a fifth level, a sixth, and a seventh. The seventh being the eternal Sabbath or rest in which you live in reality, without seeing fractions of infinity, but live in infinity itself. And this light, made manifest as the Christ Jesus, now gives us a perfect preview of what happens when you are willing to place your perfect faith in the Father, knowing that reality is perfect and present. It does not create bodies of flesh that die. It does not envelop these bodies of flesh in earthquakes. It does not give them head cold. It does not beat them or beat animals. And it is always present. You begin to see that there is a universal illusion, and that its presence is there for a purpose, to help us develop perfect faith. Our perfect faith accepts the perfection that is present and looks through every form of that universal illusion, even to the point of looking through all that is material, until we see that the nature of the universal illusion is to create a fourth world. And our soul, hungry for union with its source, is taking us forever, leading us, guiding us, driving us to find that union with source which lifts us beyond the false sense of power that exists in the fourth world. So we follow that light which was made manifest. We saw one who could walk through the fourth world untouched. And we try to cognize the secrets that enabled him to do so. And one is, we discover, he learned that he was not present in a material body. He learned that there were no material conditions, that there were no material objects, that all that was present was the invisible light. And he discovered a carnal mind, a universal sense of the fourth world, which reinterpreted the light into the appearance of form called matter, and that all belief in matter emanates from this carnal mind, and that all belief in the evil of matter emanates from this carnal mind. All belief in the goodness of matter emanates from this carnal mind. And that this carnal mind, which recreates the light into an appearance called the fourth world, is a universal illusion itself. And that only through stepping out of the effects of that world illusion could we receive that light which guides us through the fourth world, lifting us into the fifth. And so that is what our work consists of. It is learning how to express the light by stepping aside from that which the carnal mind places before us as a world of material forms. To express the light is to express the invisibility of God into this fourth level. When we look at Jesus' healing, we see that he never was dealing with physical forms. He learned that the secret was to stand in the light of his own being as an infinite self and to let the light reveal itself where the world saw material beings. This might be a good time to see that there are seven levels of body. In each world there is another level of body. And in the fourth world that level of body is a human body for us. But it isn't a human body in the fifth level or the sixth or the seventh. The human body is the world appearance we assume only at this level of consciousness. And so, as the Master did, in perfect faith we accept the body of light as the only body. And we can look at the body of flesh into which we have journeyed in the fourth level as a temporary condition imposed upon us only by the universal belief in material bodies. And we begin to lift ourselves simply by stepping aside from material sense. We do not deal with physical bodies or physical conditions. We step aside. And by stepping aside is meant we step out of the belief of the mind that physical form is present in any way. We cannot bleed for the beaten dog. We cannot fear for the earthquake. We cannot be angry at ourselves for having the head cold. We learn that we must step aside from this human sense of things, that we must take a Sabbath from mortality. And as we step aside, as we find the capacity to find a soul center instead of a five-sense chilling fear, there is a quickening. And that's when the system begins to see the miracle of that which we had feared dissolving right before us. This quickening is the oil of the soul, the soul substance forming itself in your consciousness. And it releases us from the illusion of the world. Now, most of us, when we have attempted to heal ourselves or another, have been trapped in quite a number of ways. And the one way to finally get out of all of the traps is to not try to heal that condition or that person, but to recognize that you're dealing with a universal belief. Now, you may want to get rid of your head cold, but the best way not to get rid of it is to try to treat it as a head cold. You may want to remove the fear of the earthquake, but the best way not to remove the fear is to keep thinking you're going to, in some way, eliminate that earthquake. What we're getting at is that there's no earthquake to eliminate, and there is no head cold to get rid of. If you've gone that far that you think you've got to get rid of the head cold or protect against the earthquake, then you have not caught the idea that a universal illusion is not something you try to get rid of. And you don't try to get rid of it where you stand. Once you localize that illusion and think you're trying to get rid of it where you stand, you find your efforts are thwarted. What we want to learn today is that we meet the illusion on its universal level, not on its local level. When you meet it on the local level, you're not ready for the greater works. You've got to meet it on its universal level. And so, if we were to meet the earthquake, we would not meet it as an earthquake in this area of California. We would meet it as the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And we would have to know that the earthquake is an impossibility in God's spiritual kingdom. We don't have to determine where it might strike or when it might strike. We have to determine the truth, not the nature of the illusion or the nature of the lie. And if we know the truth, this knowing will be that God, being spirit, being all, is not material, and that matter has no existence in God. There is no matter to quake. That earthquake is going to be a mental idea before it ever seems to be a physical tremor. And when there is a receptivity to the carnal mind, which says it's possible that there is a material world and that it can quake, then that individual is part of the group illusion, the group unawareness of the allness of spirit. God is not in the whirlwind. God is not in the earthquake, meaning spirit is not in matter. Now, the importance of knowing that spirit is not in matter about an earthquake or about a head cold ultimately takes you to a more important knowing, that when you know spirit is not in matter, you know that spirit does not die. When you solve the illusion of earthquake, you've also solved the illusion of death. In fact, when you solve any one form of the illusion, you've solved all illusion. It only appears to human sense that some are bigger than others. The earthquake is no bigger than the head cold because of the same illusion. Now, we're going to be prepared before our series is over, before the next four classes, we're going to be prepared to be able to participate in world work effectively. And our participation will be on the basis of knowing that where the world appears to be, my spirit is. And we're going to know that well enough so that whatever occurs in our communities or in any part of the world that is brought to our attention can be met not as a local event, but as a universal lie, a universal nothingness. So that you don't meet a head cold in your head. You meet it as a universal lie. And then not only will your head cold disappear, but many others, and you will even not even know who has benefited by your work. But that is the reason for the lie coming to you. For you to stand in the light, not just to release yourself, but to see always the universal nature of the lie. And then you become a permanent light working in world work all the time. It doesn't matter what illusion touches you, you remove the belief in the universal nature of that lie, not the local nature of it alone. And you find suddenly you have discovered deep wellsprings of power. Now, there has been much talk, and some fear has been expressed to me about this earthquake, because it seems to be prognostication time again. And so the experts have set us down for 9 a.m. on January 4th. And I think this would be a good time for us to begin our world work. It's getting ahead of the next chapter, but we'll call this a tune-up. We have here, then, a condition in which world belief is that God in some way is either absent or permissive or impotent. And so all we have to do is to ask ourselves one question. Do we believe in the omnipotence of God or do we not? Now, if you don't believe in the omnipotence of God, then more than an earthquake can terrorize you. But if you begin to accept omnipotence as a fact, then all that remains is, how can you and that fact become one? In other words, how can you, in this fourth level of the world, extend your awareness into a higher level so that you are not a separate human being in a separate human body, but are one with the very power of God? For when you are one with the power of God, then all that appears to be the power of an earthquake is rendered null and void. So this is an excellent opportunity for us to take a second look at what may be called the divine blueprint. What are we here for? Humanhood has been thought to be the nature of our being. And we were always seeking human ways to make a better humanhood. But now, let's look at humanhood as a seed. That we have to plant something while we're here, something that takes root in God and lifts us beyond the appearance of humanhood, so that as the seed of our being takes root in a higher level, let's say just the fifth level, the activity of Christ begins to function more noticeably in our experience. lifting us, dissolving mortal sense, material sense, limited sense, finite sense, belief in good and evil, belief in the powers of evil. Finally, this light within, from the fifth level, establishes itself as the very light of our being. Now we can see that where the man Jesus became aware of the light called Christ, that was evidence that this everywhere light is the light of us waiting for our acceptance. And as we accept it, as we learn it is present where we are, that it is alive, that Christ is always living, that wherever God is, Christ is. Then we accept God is where I am, and wherever God is, Christ must be where I am. We're beginning to take root in the light of being. The human seed is dissolving, personal sense is stepping away. We're taking root in Christ here, where I am. And we find that as we become more aware that God is here as the living Christ that I am, we begin to get a knowledge that I cannot be in a mortal body, because Christ is not in a mortal body. Christ here is in an immortal body. Christ here is in a spiritual body. And Christ here I am, the root in the fifth level dissolves the false beliefs in the fourth level. The human mind, which is controlled by the universal carnal mind, ceases to accept the beliefs of its false father. I learned that one of my great secrets is never to deny that I am the light of God. Never to deny that I am the Spirit. Never to deny that I am the Christ. Never to deny that you are the Christ, the light, the Spirit. Never to deny that anyone on earth is. In other words, fidelity to identity deepens the root, and it begins to sprout. The fifth level begins to feed you the oil, the substance. And soon, the living will of God begins to move you. And there's a great secret there. When carnal mind moves you through your human mind, you're in the carnal will, and it moves your physical form. When divine will moves you, it moves your spiritual form. And so the divine will functioning in you moves your spiritual form in God-ordained acts. And then they appear in the fourth level as the movements of your physical form. Without that step, without the divine ordination coming from the higher level of divine will, all that moves your physical form is carnal mind, without any connection whatsoever to true being. You walk through an entire mortal lifespan completely outside of reality. But when the deeper root of divine will moves through you, that which moves your physical form, the carnal mind, is without power completely. Your acts are ordained. And now you can discover that where you are walking under divine will, under the awareness of spiritual self, there can be no earthquake. It is impossible. There can be no head cold. There can be no pain. There can be no limitation. There can be no lack. The oil of the substance is forming itself from the higher level. And the miracle of a Jesus Christ is happening in your own being. The very light that shone through Jesus is shining through you. You're dissolving mortal sense, and the fifth world is beginning to open its doors. The eye is being lifted, and the eye is doing the lifting itself. The light that came through Jesus was the death of mortality and the birth of Christ. The light that comes through you is the death of mortality and the birth of Christ. A new mind, the Christ mind, replaces the human mind. Just as Jesus was replaced by Christ. As the false self falls away, Christ takes over as your being. You discover that everything you've been doing has been a preparation for Christ in you to take over. You are opening your consciousness to the One, that Christ may take over and lead you into the fifth, the sixth, the seventh levels of consciousness. Out of this world, out of good humanhood and bad humanhood, out of the carnal mind illusion called humanhood, out of carnal mind itself, into the purity of being. This is a spiritual transfusion. It takes place sometimes very quickly. The quickening shows you that you're in a new level of thought. And now there is no illusion on the face of the earth, regardless of its form or its nature, that can hypnotize the Christ of your being. To deny selfhood is to accept an earthquake. To deny selfhood is to accept the head cold. Even when it's there, it isn't there. Even when the earth trembles, it doesn't tremble. These are cosmic suggestions. You can have the head cold visibly and physically feel it, but it isn't there. And when you know it isn't there, you're being faithful to identity. Through the sniffles, through the wet Kleenex, it isn't there because God didn't create it, because there is no material universe, because there is only the body of life. And in your fidelity to this identity, which is I, the light, which expressed through Jesus, which is expressing through you, you find you are lifted to a place where you're ready for the greater works. And those greater works cannot be anticipated. But they come whenever you have been able to discard the belief that God could be present where evil appears to be, or that God could countenance evil, or that God could create evil, or that God could be impotent in the face of evil. All of those beliefs are the belief that God is not where you stand, that you are something separate and apart from God's self. And as long as you rest in that false belief, then the whole world of illusion appears to you as separate, different conditions of human form and material form, and you're a complete vulnerable subject for all of the so-called evil on earth. A change of thought, a change of identity, an acceptance through perfect faith that the words of the Father are true, that God is your Father, that you are the child, you are the Spirit, you are the light, you are the life, and that quickening process begins. Of course, you can see the earthquake then in its true light. A large group of people, aware only of a material universe, separated from their own individual identity, unaware of the light of Christ, walking the earth in bodies of clay, in material senses, they are victimized by the carnal mind of the world. They have no defense. The carnal mind functions the human mind. It controls it. It enslaves it. And through that human mind, it projects its concepts. Once we're caught up in it, it's difficult to see our way through. But when we are in identity, when we know who we are, when we practice living in and as that which we're told by the Father we are, the child of God, the Son of God, what right have we to say, I, the Son of God, can be hurt by an earthquake? The contradiction is so obvious there. The acceptance of the earthquake was the denial that you are the child of God. Not living with the knowledge that I am the Son of God, we succumb to all of the suggestions around us. Now, Joel has taught us that there is one illusion. And so we don't have to try to figure out, what about this? Is this of the carnal mind, and what about that? This world is of the carnal mind. And in our work, we must come to that conclusion which states that nothing in this world is created by God. Nothing in this world. There is nothing in this world that is not created by the carnal mind. It is a complete carnal mind creation. All of it. Because it is the fourth world, the fourth level. And only when you let your human sense of self be a seed and rooted in God, which is identity everywhere, will you find relief from the fifth level, taking you up above the cosmic illusion called world. If you start making exceptions, thinking this is not of the carnal mind, but that is, because this is good and that isn't, you're wrong. This world is the carnal mind made visible. And all evil that exists in this world exists only in the carnal mind that projects the evil. It has no rise in God, no law to sustain it. And when we live in this world, we're not living under divine law. Now, that doesn't mean when the dog is beaten, you don't want to help the dog. It doesn't mean you don't try to get rid of the head cold. It means that you add your new dimension always. That dimension from which you live. The dimension which is invisible, which is light. That light made visible through Jesus Christ as a force. That light is the light of your being. And when you accept it, then I, the light, and the infinite Father are one. And there is no power needed anymore. The knowing of that truth consciously is the power. It does all the work. If you know that I am the light which is one with the infinite, you cannot now turn around and expect an earthquake in the infinite light. And so you're standing on the knowledge of what you are with a need for no power whatsoever. For what you are is the only power. And when you experience that it really is, you'll see why to know the truth is sufficient. Sometimes you think you know the truth, and you'll be dismayed to find that something happens which you thought might not happen because you thought you knew the truth. And that's because your knowing of the truth is simply mental. It isn't the consciousness of truth, the spirit of truth. It hasn't been lived in long enough to take root so that you have perfect faith. Now, most of us by now can heal things, but fear will always crop in. And the reason it does is because it is alerting us to the fact that our consciousness is still in a semi-sense of separation. You couldn't feel that where I am, God walks, and have fear. And so there is still that unawareness of the presence of God where you are. Not practicing the presence is practicing the absence. And carnal mind is very quick to find all of the gaps in your consciousness. And then you're forced into a false sense of separation, and before you know it, here comes the tidal wave. Now, in our world work, we're going to look out upon the world, not to improve it or to heal it, because that's trapped. That's part of the trap of the carnal mind. The minute it gets you to want to heal something, you've been trapped into accepting something that exists which is not the Spirit of God. When we do our world work, then, and we've had now many years of preparation for it, it will not be to improve the world, because that would be the trap. That's what carnal mind always wants to force you to do. But rather, you're to know the spiritual nature of what is present where the world appears to be. You're really to discover yourself everywhere in your world work. We won't be praying that God remove a condition from the world like war, or that God takes away the flood in the Gulf of Mexico, or that God prevents certain conditions, or that God empties out a hospital ward. Rather, we will be knowing first that where I stand is the light of God. Without that as a beginning, you have no fulcrum. You have nothing to tie on to. You can't just have a God out there. You must begin in the here-ness of your own being. Where I stand is the light of God, and no other. If you're going to do successful world work, it's going to be by beginning at that level. Where you stand is the light of God. This is a 24-hour truth. And if you practice that truth, no matter what you do, you'll find it takes root until your conviction is fully established. And then you aren't forced to use words to drive home the point. You find that you have that total conviction. It needs no verbal reinforcement. Where you are is the light of God. Why? Because the child of God is the light of God. Where God is, the light of God is. And the light of God is where you are because God is there. That light you are. As this deepens, you are one with the light everywhere in your consciousness. Now you in the light, as the light, one with the light everywhere, can find nothing in the infinite light of your being except the light. And that's your consciousness. Living light. Where you stand, connected to everywhere light, so that all is the one light. I and the Father are one. I am the light of the world. Where the world appears, there is no world. There is only I, the light. I am the light where the world appears. This becomes your awareness. And now you stand in that. And whatever comes into carnal mind, into human mind, to present to you a suggestion that you are not the light where you are, which is one with the light everywhere, you look at this suggestion and you find there's no place for it to take root. It comes into the consciousness which cannot accept it. This is the consciousness of light which is too pure to be defiled, too pure to behold iniquity. Nothing can enter to defile it or make a law. You don't need any power. You don't need any statements. You have this daily building of the consciousness of the light here is the light everywhere, and nothing else exists. And through this light, the power of the light dispels the false presumed power of the darkness. The earthquakes are lined, are unwrinkled. The floods are dried up. The diseases are dissolved. You stand in that truth. You don't go out to dissolve those diseases or to repair fences or to raise the dead. You stand in the light of your own being, knowing that light is everywhere, one light, and let the light do its own revealing. That's the kind of way in which we will do our world work. And then one day when we're in different parts of the world and not grouped together here in a room, you find we're still doing our world work, so that you are doing it in one city and someone else in another. Whatever comes to your attention in your particular area, you meet the same way. And you're doing world work because you're never meeting it as a local situation. You're meeting it by knowing the light I am is the light everywhere. And it needs no further power other than to know the truth. The light I am here is the light everywhere. And this becomes a law unto you. All karmic law is broken. Your soul is finding conscious oneness with its source. And all of the patient years of mortality are finally bearing fruit as the soul is now lifting you to the next level of consciousness, the fifth level, in which the light that you are dispels the total darkness of the fourth world. Lifting the eye, the rising Christ of your own being lifts you out of this world. And when Jesus was lifted out of this world that way, his form still appeared in the world. They now saw a fifth level form in the fourth level. Your form will continue to appear in this world. Don't expect to disappear. But you will find that your form in the visible is now working as an outward appearance in conjunction with a new invisible form. And one is the outer expression of the inner. And your form is in taking orders from the carnal mind of the universe. It doesn't get a cold just because everybody else does. You find your mind is replaced. It doesn't fear. You find that the false goals of humanhood do not tempt you anymore. Your goals are totally different. They are simply to be faithful, to let the outer serve the inner. Your perfect faith says to you, I have no personal goals. The light is complete. The light is whole. The light is not lacking. The light isn't trying to become. The light accepts that it already is. And so if you find yourself striving to become, you're caught in the trap of the carnal mind, trying to be a better or more successful human. And the temptation of the world mind is functioning in you only because you are still rebelling against identity. If you find you still got that yen for success, or for greater comforts in the world, or for some kind of personal improvement, you're still under the hypnosis that you are not the light. Seek ye first the light, which is the kingdom. Now this is a going away from the world, not a better human way. This is the meekness, which is the strength. The great disguise for strength is the meekness unto the Spirit. All of this world is an illusion. For right where this world appears to be is the light of being. And as you walk in that light consciously, you will find you are being lifted to new levels of consciousness, which will culminate in the seventh level. The level of full awareness of a permanent self, a permanent life, as the pure Spirit of God. If we're not in our daily divinity, we're in daily karma. Whenever you step out of divinity, you're stepping into karma. Whenever you step into divinity, you are crossing out karma. And that is the reason this carnal mind of the world is here. We've never questioned that we grow up from children. We don't say, why wasn't I born an adult? We do question and say, why wasn't I born as a perfect Spirit of God then, if that's what I am? What's the sense of all this illusion? Why don't we just start right out with all of it? Well, then you'd have to say, why do we ever get born as children at all? Why don't we just start out as perfect adults? Infinity is too vast. You must let your soul continue its journey through infinity. And at the present level of our journey, we're in that mortal sense of the world carnal mind. And we're being lifted out of it by fidelity to the light of my own being where I stand. Whoever holds on to the light of their being will find that the light is the way. It will illuminate you. Now then, you'll still have head colds. You'll still have fears. You'll still find things go wrong. You'll find you're still disturbed. You're still resentful. But these diminish and diminish. And then the head cold that you have doesn't last the whole week. You manage to shake it a little quicker than someone else. The fears diminish. The disturbances diminish. We begin to see the utter nothingness of our human resentments. More and more and more we're lifted into the perfect love of the perfect Father. Don't ever be ashamed of your difficulties in this work. They only happen because they're necessary. They're necessary for you to know that that difficulty is there because you are not standing as the light. You are rejecting fatherhood of God, identity as the light of the Father. Make the adjustment, accept yourself, and know that this light that you are is one with the eternal light, the infinite light, and all of that light, the infinite eternal light, is right where you are, always. Nothing is impossible unto it. It is functioning, and carnal mind finds that you are now no stranger to the light, cannot manipulate you. Mankind is stopped at this human level, but we go beyond it. We do not stop at it, and it is our function not only to lift ourselves out of it, but to lift the world with us. We are to lift the world out of its humanhood. We may not hide our light under a bushel. The same light that Christ says to you, you are the light, you inwardly are saying to your neighbor, and ye are the light. There's no victim there. The victim is the illusion of the carnal mind. Right where the victim appears to be, you recognize the invisible light of your own being. Place your own invisible light wherever the world presents an illusion, until you have one infinite, homogenized, perfect light everywhere. And you will be led. This is the bread of the Father, instead of the bread of this world. This is the Spirit of the Father instead of the might and power of this world. This is the meekness. Suddenly you know. This power of the Father has always been present. It was never absent. You know the world suffers only from its illusions. And you are standing above the illusions of the world. You are ready to be a spiritual worker in the Father's kingdom.